To introduce our guest speaker, I met Richard a year ago at, actually a little more than a, a little less than a year ago, because I met him, it was right before our Passover Seder at one of our Alliance Leaders Luncheon. Doug Johnson brought him, and we just clicked, and it was like, wow, this man is someone who God is using in an amazing way, and who's got a lot of depth to him, and we had a incredible union. And even as he was beginning to leave here, he's looking around at all of our banners and everything, and he goes, wow, what kind of church is this? And we told him how we're a one new man congregation. He goes, oh, I love the Jewish roots of our faith. And he's going to hopefully come to our Shabbat Friday night. So it's like it even just deepened the union that we had. And he's returned from India now. His wife, Julie, was born and raised here in Maryland, and they come back here as often as they can. And so he's back again, and we've had some wonderful interaction with one another. And I just thought, you know, we need to hear from this man. There's something that God's put in his life that we can all benefit from. So I invited him to come and join with us this morning, and he graciously agreed. So let's welcome our brother, Richard Joseph. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Let us start with a prayer. Let us close our eyes and begin with a prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thai pola te tri, thandai pola atri. Tol me the sumandilum in yesaya. Thai pola te tri, thandai pola atri. Tol me the sumandilum in yesaya. Ummai pola purindu kolla yarum illaye. Ummai pola aravanaikka yarum illaye. உம்மை போல புரிந்து கொள்ள யாரும் இல்லையே. உம்மை போல அரவணைக்க யாரும் இல்லையே. நீர் போதும் என் வாழ்விலே இயேசையா, நீர் போதும் என் வாழ்விலே. தாயை போல தேற்றி, தந்தை போல ஆற்றி. தாயை போல தேற்றி, தந்தை போல ஆற்றி. தோல் மீது சுமந்திடும் என் இயேசையா. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God. And this morning, we want to feel your presence once again. Thank you, Lord. Touch every people's hearts in this morning. We are humble before you. And we want to see your miraculous thing happen in this morning once again before everybody, including me, O Lord Jesus. Thank you for your wonderful opening door for this new heritage, so that these wonderful people also have a taste and see your gloriness. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm very happy and glad. And I thank Pastor Randy Reinhardt and Pastor Lesson. And they are wonderful people. I really, like Pastor said, I got really connected with him. Like your father had, I had fell before him. And I really thank you for once again. And I'm going to start with my testimony, my parents' testimony. And then I will show you the small eclipse. And then I will also wanted to pray for you, each one of you. And my parents, they were a Roman Catholic family. And I need to know how to this so that I can.
Do we have control? Just press the button.
Yeah. Okay, so, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Forward, back.
Oh, okay. Okay, thank you. This is first picture? Okay. Yeah. So you see my father is here. And my father, he was school teacher in India, south part of India, where a wonderful brother and sister is here, and they have to go after our town. So we speak the same language. And my father was Roman Catholic man. He was a dramedian, and he conducted a lot of Hindu dramas. And while he was a school teacher, he conducted many of the Hindu dramas in many of the villages, more than 30 villages. So if you ask in my place, Joseph sir means everybody knows. Yeah, he's a good guy, and he conducts our dramas without any religious barriers. He goes to all religious people. So 1981, he got a tuberculosis, and doctor gave up hope. The place name is called Kappalur in Madurai. It's a very famous hospital for the tuberculosis. And there, when he was there, and doctor said he cannot be able to live again more than 6 months. So you just take him. Because those days, even nowadays, if anybody carried dead bodies, they cut the lime, lemon and on the road so that the evil spirit will not attack the drivers. They won't be die. So the doctor said, you have nobody. So just take him when he is alive. So he can be able to travel like other people. So he was there. All the people in the villages, they came and saw my father. He's going to die. He's a good man. So that time when my mom, she was born a Christian, but she was not a Christian, you know. And one of the teacher, she took her and to our church. That was like five people in the Ottrai Agraharam, means like where the priest people are living. In those days, you know, church never possible to happen in that kind of areas. But it was happening. Only five people were there. In the time of worship, God began to speak through the pastor. There is a lady came here, and you think your husband is going to die. But Jesus said, if you put your all your trust upon Jesus, he will not die. Also, he is going to use your children in many parts of the world. And after the service, everybody asking their husbands, you know, whose husband is very sick. And the lady who brought my mom, she said, her husband is the one who is going to die. So you have to come and, you know, pray for him. But we are like my parents, they worship all gods. So they have a big, big, large frames. This is not a frames at all. It's a small frames. Very large, big frames they had. A lot of idols, a lot of Hindu gods, a lot of Roman Catholic gods. So the pastors came and preached the gospel, but my parents, they want only healing, not a gospel, you know. And God said that you really want to live for Jesus, you have to get rid of all these idols. My father, he rid of all the Hindus, all the Muslims, all other religions, but he don't want to rid of his Roman Catholic gods because he said, that's my childhood God. I will never forsake this God. I don't want even a healing. I want this God. And then my mom explained little by little, and he get rid of it. 6 months passed, my father did not die. And he got a sensation back from his leg because he can't feel any sensation from his hip to bottom. All those urine and, you know, toilet, everything, my mom have to carry and clean and, you know. And the doctor said he and the worms are same. No possible for him to walk again. And when he was there, and my dad says, you know, I got my sensation back. We were happy by seeing my dad sitting and standing and walking. And all the people came, and they said, this guy, this teacher, came alive from death. And then they said, okay, please come and conduct our dramas and all our village worship services. And my dad said, I can do any help for you, but I cannot help any of your gods. You know what? I did not I searched after all of your gods in my time of trouble. None of them saw their face to me. But the one true living God who is in this book, that he came to me and he gave me the life. He can give you anything in your life. When my father was living, that whole village could not be able to celebrate the Hindu festival for more than 10 years. When we get up from that village, more than 10 families, they got saved. More than 10 families, there was a church happening. And my dad, every single day, he said that you are allowed to study any books from Monday to Saturday. But Sunday, it's a living for God. You're going to only read the Bible. You're going to preach to the children. So he take us in a walk and with the bare foot. We go every Sunday to the church early morning, 7 o'clock. We finish our service 2:30, and then we come back, have our lunch, and we go back to the villages. And my father always told me, these are the many people are going to hell. Who's going to save these people? If you are not preaching the gospel, God is going to ask their blood on your account. So you want a food, you want a shelter, we all have from God, but you need to preach the gospel. Hallelujah. So I went to Bible college, and I had an experience of a lot of trouble in my personal life. I will not sleep in the nighttime. Wherever, even the church meeting will be happen. After the meeting, I will sleep in the church. I will go away somewhere to the world. I will say to the pastor, I want to go to my place. And the pastor will say, where is your place? In that world. I am living in that world. That's my territory. I'm going to go. So they come to know that I have an evil spirit for a long time. So my father even don't want me to sleep in the closer to the door. He always sleeping closer to the door. That time I give my life to Jesus for his service, from the day onwards, I did not have any problem from that evil spirit. Instead, when I go to the people's house, people will be receiving me, and I will tell them, okay, we are going to pray now. And they will be fall down. They will be fall down, and then I will spring the water on their face, and they will wake up, and they will ask me, please come, can I have coffee? You already invited me. Why are you inviting me often, you know, more and more? And they said that we feel now freedom from that evil spirit. So God healed my father, and now he can do anything. After the healing happened, my father went back to the Kapolar hospital and saw himself to the doctor. Doctor said, where did he get this high technological medical? Because you got a new backbone grown up. You must be traveled to somewhere else. And he said, no, sir, I just pour the oil, you know, pray. My wife prayed and pour the oil. No, you got to be telling me lie. And they put a cast for 6 months or something, and then they put the leather belt back of his backbone, and they said, you have to wear this for your entire life. You should not drive the bicycle. You should not drink anything cold. But everything, whatever the doctor said, he's doing it. He's living for Jesus. He's walking for Jesus. He's conducting the meeting. He's running the church right now, whatever I planted. So that's my dad. And the second one is, he like very much to, you know, preach the gospel to the children. So that's my mom. She's also living for Jesus, and she's preaching the gospel to the villages. And I would like to show you a small video clip so that you will know something a little bit about India, and you can have understanding about it.
Welcome to a distant country, a land nothing like our own. It is a world of vast exotic beauty. But in the midst of this same immense beauty, there is extreme sorrow, pain, unspeakable suffering. Poverty beyond description. Of India, there resides 1/6 of the world's population. they have mostly been given over to devotion to heathen gods and ritualistic idol worship. Scattered throughout the nation of India, there are thousands upon thousands of remote villages. They are filled with hurting, empty souls, desperately waiting to hear that there is a God in heaven that loves them and can give them meaning and purpose for their lives and hope for everlasting life. In the midst of this utter despair, the Lord is using independent church in India to change many lives once caught up in this hopelessness, transforming them by the power of His glorious gospel. We invite you to watch and witness how the Lord Jesus is bringing meaning and purpose to the lives of those who once had no hope in this world, changing them for His eternal glory.
So 1999, I started a church in a village on the street. There was a man came to me, and I asked him, what do you want? And he said, you have a big book in your church. Can I have that book? I thought that he want to have that book for, what their tendency to do in the villages. They take a lot of books and give it to the shopper man to have something. Eatables. So he's going to do that. I was thinking like that. The next day he shows me, and I read the book, one of the scripture. Can he explain me about it? And I said, like, yes. And then slowly God began to talk to me and just ask him to come in a place with his family. So that's how that man was a rowdy. I did not know. And he said, I used to drink alcohol. I used to kill people. And now I move from Tuticorin and I live here with my family and I want to have a new life. And that's how I started the church in the villages. And there were a lot of people. And, you can every day when I go to the villages, I was telling God, my feet has to be touch every home of these villages. So I used to walk like more than 15 villages. And then I got a bicycle, and I go to through the bicycles to the many villages. I planned one church, 1999, and 2005 one, and 2008 one. And I'm going to go next month. I'm going to plant another church in main city of Madurai, which is near to the Fatima College. So these are the things. But now you can see the India population is, you all know that that it's the second largest country in the world, a populated country in the world. We have 1,600 languages, and major languages 122, official languages are 29, and total states are 29. And India is, we also have 303 billion gods and goddesses. They said every newborn baby have to take care of minimum 5 new gods. Then only they can finish all of their God to be worshipped. So there are more God than a man. So they said, if one God forsaken you, another God will take you. So that's what they never, if you tell about Jesus, they will say, yes, we like Jesus. We know about Jesus. They will even show the Jesus pictures in their house. But you had to differentiate them how Jesus only the true living God. Only real God. Because, I can say everybody father and mother, but I cannot give that position to, other people what I'm going to give to my father, So the bottom line, you see the Tamil, so where we are coming from, me and brother and sister, and we are the bottom area, and the circle where, that's an Indian map, and the major issues Idol worship, casteism, poverty, dowry, female infanticide, uneducation. So that they are the major problems still now. Some of them, even though the government is making laws, still it's rooted. The casteism is very rooted thing. I cannot explain because it's the time is very short. So I'm going to explain a little bit about it, because so that you will know the little bit of the what is that casteism is. Casteism. The casteism finds its origin in functional groupings called varnas, which have their origin in the Aryan society. In their creation myth, four varnas are said to have emanated from the primeval being. According to the Rig Veda hymn, the different classes sprang from the four limbs of the creator. The creator's mouth became the Brahmin priest. His two arms formed the Rajanyas, Kshatriyas, the warriors and kings. His two thighs formed the Vaisyas, landowners and merchants. And his feet were bound the Sudras, untouchable artisans and servants. So you may have a hear about, you know, you have a class system here, I think. So there is a caste system. You can change your religion, but you cannot change your casteism. Like my father was a haircutter, means I have to be a haircutter. So we have our own education. Our father was a barber, means I have to be a barber. He was a washer, means I had to be a washer. He was, you know, cleaning the ditch or, you know, something, and I had to follow that. So after the British came, and they changed the, they brought the real education. And they brought a lot of technological advancement, like missionaries, like Ireland and other European missionaries, they came. And they brought the Bible to Tamil Nadu. The very first Tamil Bible was printed in whole over India. So when you go to the north part of India, a lot of missionaries, they went from south to north and plant churches. So that's the Indian little bit. And idol worship, you know, you don't do idol worship also, you had to pay the tax. Where I lived, you know, they would say, you worship your own God. But now we are worshiping our God. You are living in our village. You had to pay that temple tax. You know, the village will be controlled by the government agency and plus religious agency. Religious agencies are priesthood. So you cannot be escaped from taxation of the temple. Always they will murmur you. They will not give you if you go to their shop. Some rural villages, they will not even allow you to pick the water or get anything. So, you know, in a village, everybody knows everybody. So they won't even talk to you. They won't be nice to your children. So that's idol worship. Caste is some, see, everybody has a caste. I have a caste. That sister, her certificate has a caste. Her children will carry that casteism. I carried my caste from my birth certificate itself, going to the school or college, whatever the certificate you have. The caste system will be written on it by the government to identify which caste group people you are. I cannot marry somebody who are away from my caste. So I have to be bound by the caste. And these are the pictures, the god and the Brahmin priest. And this is the diagram. You see that last bit of it, untouchable, outcast, you know, street sweeper and Latin cleaners. So the especially like when you have a blind, you become an orphan, you got a leprosy. They said that's your punishment from your previous birth, because God punished you. So nobody allowed to help you. Even their own children, grown-up children, they chase their own parents. I have visited more than 30 leprosy colonies in India, because once I went to, I think 99, I went to my sister's house in Barugur, which is Dharmapuri district. So I went there. I used to pray in the hills area. I was praying and I asked my sister, is there any leprosy? Because I got a word like leprosy. And she said, how do you know that leprosy? And she asked me, and I said, no, I just got a leprosy. Is there anybody? I asked her. She said 250 leprosies are there in the government leprosy colony. And then I said, how can I go in there? You know, what should I do to make, you know, me to be there? And she said, if you give them a one-time free food, they will let you in. So how much that will be cost? 6,000 rupees. So I went back to my parents' house, and I was saving the money whole year. And I went to my sister's house, and I went there very first time. It was a horrible situation that I ever seen in whole life, in my whole life, anybody. So they put the big table, and they put laid the man like an animal, and they tied the rope on the hook in the hook with their legs, and underneath of their legs there was a lot of blood comes down, and the basin was filled with their blood, and they could not able to see. And the people, they said, they don't want to go there, sir. Nobody will go. Even the doctor will not go. They will die any moment. Why are you going there? And, you know, when I approached the room itself, it was very filthy smell. I could not able to go. There was more than 67 people lay down, and they could not able to see. And I went, and God said, go near to them. And I went near to them, and they were saying like, the humming only I can hear. And I said, Jesus loves you. They said, And he loves you. He wants to be with you. And he will take care of you. And they said, That's all. And other leprosy, they said, even our children will never come and see us. Truly, we believe that Jesus is the one who sent us. And from the day onwards, I started that ministry. I have come across all the leprosy colony, and I gave them a Bible, and I gave them a blankets, and I even trained some of my church people to CMC Velur, and where Ida Skeder, she was planted that medical center, and we got a good friendship in there, and we train our church people to wrap their wounds, and, you know, dressing them, and all sort of things. And they got touched. They got saved. One of the leprosy from Tirunelveli, he talked to me, sir, pastor, however you taught me to share the gospel, I preach about the Jesus in the bus stand, Tirunelveli bus stand. I plant the church now, and the leprosy colony, the American leprosy colony, they built the building and everything in Tirunelveli district. And the guy said, one of our leprosy, he became a pastor now. He planted the church because of you guys. So we started reaching the people like that. And you see that my place is called Madurai. More than 15,000 deities, they will come. More than 33,000 gods and goddesses in each of that temple. Because if you go there, one place, you cannot identify which place you come in, which place you are going to go out, unless you know familiar with that. Because they call Temple City, East Athens City. And they even call you, you know, we welcome you to the Temple City. So Madurai is a very ancient place for the Hinduism and the idol worship. It's more than 56 place. We have sacramental places for Hindus. They believe if you go one of those places, your sins will be washed away. So they visit from all over India, and the government is giving a lot of development and everything. You see that the door is there, and inside the temple you go there, there will be a board. It says, if you are not a high caste Hindu, you are not allowed to enter in it. That means you are high caste, means you are allowed to go into the most holy places. You know, like in the Jewish tradition, we have a holy place and, you know, altar and a holy place and most holy places. You know, that's how they do that. And cow is the sacred animal. You guys will say holy cow, it's for something else. So they have more than 30 gods and goddesses they have. They even sell that cow urine, even drink the cow urine, even they burn the cow, asses and put it in their face. And these are the people who are not going to take a sun bath. They are going to walk on the fire. They call the walk on fire is not the right word, walk on the flower path. So if you have any sins, your my feet will be burned. If you don't have any problem with God, and you will not have any problem. If you have a problem, you will have a problem with your feet. So they put a fire for 3 days or 2 days, depends upon the people crowd, and they will carry with their children, and they walk on the fire. And they also carry that. That's from my own town. I just took it from my, and that's a fire pot. And some guys will be hooked, put their hook on their back, and that's a big pole. They will be hanging around like more than 4 hours and 5 hours until the program's finished. That's a hook. Literally, they put their in their back. At the same time, we also have a poverty slum areas in the main big cities. Living in Mumbai alone, one day living in Mumbai alone, taking equal to 100 cigarettes. That means you just think about the pollution we have everywhere. That's a Dalit guy. He's cleaning the human savages. And, you know, that's a menial job. We got 3,40,000 manual scavengers in India. 99% of them are Dalits. You know, Dalits are untouchables, low caste. So we reached the Dalits, even the missionaries, they went to the Dalit people because they were a slavery under the high caste people, landlords. In the landlords, in the olden days, they will have, you see that money far? You see, as far as you can see, that's all belongs to my land, my fatherland. Then the British, they came and they said, no, not that distance. Only you have 10 acres, 50 acres, you know, 100 acres. They put the, everything, you know, made it as a paper. But still, some of the Dalits, they can come up in their lives. I have personally worked with the Dalit people. I know many Dalit people. I raised many of the Dalit children. Now they are young people. But still, their life is the same. And these are the not even considered as humans. Dogs are treated better in India. You know, every Indian's minimum at least take one time or five times to take a stone to throw the dogs. So that means the dogs means that's the leastest respect you can give to the animal in India. But you guys have a lot of things in the, you know, dog thing. You have a bed and, you know, you take care of thing. Like equal, you know, as one of your human. But not like that. So they clean the stuff. If any Dalits do anything wrong, the police will never give them a mercy. And they will beat them like an animal. And they will not. And that's one of the Dalit men. And some of the villages, not anymore nowadays, but many of the remote villages, still we have a well system. But, you know, they are not, they have to carry the water. I have carried from my whole life. If you come and touch my shoulder, this shoulder will be smaller than this shoulder. Because this, the bone will be, you know, I carry the water all the time for my whole family and animals, you know. So my children will never know what I gone through, you know. So any place I go, you know, I can survive. And so the every basic need, you have to go and work for it. So if you come to India, your belly will not be there. You don't need to go for a weight loss program. You just come 10 days. My wife always come to India. She will be like a big person. And when she come back, she will be like a skinny. And we also have a treated like a, you know, double class system. You are a high caste mean, you will have a different God. You know, they will ask you, which village you are from? Oh, I'm from this village. Okay, which street you are from? I'm this street. Oh, okay. That means they will identify your caste. By having your robe on your hand, red or black, or what kind of God, which God you are worshiping, they will identify you, who you are, which caste you are. Oh, you are my caste. Okay, you are my relative somehow, you know. So when you go to the tea shop, if this tea man, tea master is identify you, you are a low caste, and they will give you with the mirror glass. But if you are a high caste, they will give you with the silver cup. So, but same money you have to pay, but the respect will not be there in the public. So that's my mom conducting the new believers, preaching every single day. Basic, she will go and talk about Jesus. And because they are uneducated, many of them are widow, and many of them poor, and they still, you know, come to Jesus because of our ministry. That's me. And one of the Delhi village, I like to go because the whole villages will come. And I will worship like a church, and they will worship. And the time will pass like anything. Like we go like 5 o'clock, we come sometime 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. They will love us like anything. That's one of the village. There's a village father. They will respect us and, you know, hear the gospel. This is one of the HIV village in Madurai. And all the people in the villages are drivers. The drivers, they come back home only 3 months or 2 months. So they will be go and sleep with that any kind of the roadways, the prostitutional thing. And they get a HIV. They give the HIV. And the pastors, my friend, me and him, we were studying in a Bible college same. So he requested me to come and pray for the children, and we work together in Madurai village. The whole villages will often come. This is one of the tribal village. One day I was preaching the gospel to the one small children group. And one guy, he came, his name is Chin, and he said, "Why you Christian never come to my village?" I asked him, "Where is your village?" He pointed me towards that one of the hill which is near to us called Sirumalai. And I said, "I don't know anybody there. I will never." You think there is a houses? He said, "Yes, there are a lot of houses. There are a lot of villages. I never seen any Christian people coming. Why you guys don't like us or not? What? You know?" And I said, "No. If you take me, I will come with you next week." And he said, "I study in this school by staying in the hostel. So I will take you on Saturday." So he took me to Dindigul. So Dindigul is another district very near to me. And probably my brother and sister knows. And from there to Sirumalai, I went there like 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. And 10 o'clock to that place, particular place, we walked one walk, one mountain pass, 3 mountains pass, 5th mountain pass, afternoon gone, and 2 o'clock gone. And I was sitting, myself, my brother, and my sister-in-law, everybody we went, brother-in-law, and everybody we went there with the guitar and with the Bible and some of the soap and shampoo and, toothbrush and everything. And I said to him, "We are not going to go back. Go to your village. We are going to go back." And he said, "Even if you go back, there will be a lot of wild animals. You cannot go back." And I said, "Where is really your village? I couldn't see any houses." He said, "You cannot see any houses because it's a prohibited area for the government. We are not supposed to live in there. But big politicians hold this land. We are working for those people." So we made a coffee and a pepper and vegetables. And chow chow vegetables, we have a lot of vegetables. And I said, "Okay, how long it takes? Just tell us." And you see that 3 mountains. We passed more than 15 mountains already. And we have no energy. But I was challenging always like, "Okay, I'm taking my exercise right now." You know? And we were walking. My sister's husband, he said, "I have a headache, I cannot walk." Man, you are the senior pastor. You're supposed to walk, faster than us, you know. And then we went there, and all the villages surrounded us. This must be the people who abused that girl and killed that girl yesterday. Because of these guys, we went to the police station, Trichy, yesterday. All the villagers surrounded us. And the guy said, no, these people are Jesus people. They are good people. I brought them from this village. Vadipati. So he said, then they hear the gospel. They told us, "We never seen any outsider came to this place to talk about Jesus." The whole villages, they got saved. Even the teachers, they go weekly once, morning to afternoon. Then these guys have to send them with some of the bike or some kind of jeep. There was no vehicle. That's where from Pennsylvania, the Life Center Church people, they came like 20 people. That's how I, myself and my wife, we met there in the hill. And we came, and I came in 2008. I got married after getting the blessing from my parents. And then I went back. And we have a, see, some of the places, we don't have a medical facilities. Now they put the road, but we don't have a hospital. We don't have a shop. You know, they just eat their boiled rice. And they gave us Fuji rice and the Fuji food, and we had them. And above all, we feel much love from them because they love Jesus now. So we have to go and preach the gospel. That's another village, another town that in Odisha, Santali people. We work among those Santali tribes people, and that's our pastors. And that's our team people. And I go yearly once, or sometimes 2 years once. And that's one of our pastors in Orissa. His name is Prem Kumar. And he showed me his church in that time, like a lot of thousands of Hindu extremists. They killed a lot of thousands of Christians in the time I visited there. And that's my, they gave me the good welcome on the board. You can see my name and everything. And in that crowd, I have a beard. And I was skinny that time, because that time I did not go to come to U.S. I did not have a pizza or a burger or, you know, anything. So that's a tribe. And that's a village I used to walk. You see that the top one? That's a Sirumalai people. So we preach gospel to them more often. If you ever come, and I will take them there. And that's tribal children. And most of the tribal children, they will not have a cloth. They will not have a food. They will not have anything. So you can find a lot of kids. They just find the trash, you know, the recycling trash, and just to find a food. And most of the children, like we have India kills 10 million girls in 20 years. Because of that, we have a place name is called, there is a Tirumangalam near Chakkanurani. So it's a first famous place for female infanticide. So government itself, they wanted to take care of the child, but the mothers, they don't want to give away. That's a disrespect for their family. So they kill their own children with the poison, by giving the poison milk. I can show you their houses, because we have a friend passes there. He showed me literally digging the ground, showing their skeleton and everything, or their own parents kill their children, because they don't want their children to be suffer when they grew up. They have to pay a lot of money as a dowry to the man to marry her. And after the childbirth, everything. So that's, they just eat the boiled rice. Even I eat now here. You know, I don't like American food a lot. So I have to boil my rice and I have to eat it. You know, some of the places, rather than oxen, you know, bull, they use the small children for, you know, plowing the rice field. I worked a rice field many times when I was little. I know how to carry, I know how to plant. And so the small guy, he has to carry the, you know, recycling thing just to have a food. He cannot educate it. He cannot, even if they go, the some guys, you know, when, you know, in America, you are really respecting the children. But in India, like, you know, if the vehicle comes, the children have to be very careful. When the small girl is passing, you know, walking, you know, towards the school, there was a car, you know, smashed all the muddy on her. She cannot go to school that day, you know. So people don't care. And if there is a vehicle come, people have to stop. Not the, you know, vehicle have to stop for the people here, you know. So it's a different world. And the small girl, she has to stand with the balance of the two stick on the top of the rope for earn money for life living. The mother will be banging the plate underneath, and the people will be poor, you know, 5 rupees or 10 rupees. So she can't go to school. And some of the children, they have to help with their parents for their rice plantation. They're not educated. And I also literally conduct some of the places, my ministry. These are my children. I taught them about Jesus. And I talked to her, why don't you go to school? My mom is doing this coconut leaf thing. I am not supposed to go to school. So I talked to that lady, can I take her and give her education? She said no, and my husband won't let me, allow my children to go away. So that's the thing. And this girl, she don't have a father and mother. And I hear her, and she used to go to the shopping places. She go and take that all the leftover food and some of the leftover fruit, damaged fruits, and she used to eat it. That's what they show me, and that's a real girl whom I know, and that's the guy. 11 children in the family, and the father got bit by the cobra, and they have no place, and the whole. Villagers said that they are the poor people in the whole village. So we gave them a cow and we take them two of the children and we give them education for the female children. Now they become a nurse and they work in the local hospital. And there are some of the villages when I go, the parents will put the sling and let the children will be play with the other neighborhood people. And these are the two children they got by the shopper by stealing the biscuits for the hungry. But what they did, they beaten them by roping, by tightening the with a rope on the tree, and they shave their head like this and make them humiliated, just for that, you know. And other thing is, we help that some of the. Orphan children by giving them a rice and lentils per month, so that poor mother, poor grandfather, and that's my church. And we used to give them a food every Sunday. They come and with their grandmothers and the whole villages, they will be open to hear the gospel because of we help those children. And that's another girl who whose mother was burned by the fire, so her father wanted to save her. And he got fire accident in his hands too. He cannot work. So we give them a rice, and she's now 11th grade, he's studying. And that's my wife. We go to the different places. And this many children, we raise them. And we want to raise more children. But without, my church is, very generous people. Even if they are generous, my per monthly income will be $2. The whole offerings, because they are very poor people, they cannot help these children. So we have to depend upon, a good believer who are really burdened for the children and who wanted to be meaningful to somebody's life. So these are the orphanage children, and these are the other group of children. We take them in the orphanage. So we have our home and we give them. And there's a last girl, you see that? The girl who is holding the hand like that. That's one of the girl, father, died. And 11 children, one of that girl. And each of them have a different story. All of them are orphaned. Some of the children, they don't have electricity. And we go to the main villages. Most of the children you can see naked. And they will not have any cloth. And that's my wife. Whenever she comes, and the children will be grab her and play with her. And we go to different villages. We take our children and young people always to train them about Jesus in a practical way. And one day I went to pray for that one lady. She said, "Can you pray for my son?" And I said, "Yes. Where's he? He is in the upstairs room. He lives 3 years. He never come down. And he never allowed anyone." And I said, "Is it okay for me to come?" And she said, "Yes." So I went there. It was 10 by 5, and it's a full dark and a lot of dirty cloth, stink and urination. And he has a long hair. He was looking like this. His name is Solarazan, and he's looking at me. And I was quietly praying, "Jesus, open his eyes, touch him, heal him." And nothing happened. And I come down. And after I walked towards my house, maybe a half mile, and the mom came after me. Son, please come. And she was calling me back. And I said, "What happened?" And after you left, my son, very first time came down, he ran out from our house. I was scared what he's going to do. He went to the barber shop, cut his hair, he took bath. He asked me, "Mom, I'm hungry, please give me a food." Now he is alive, he is saved, his whole family is saved. He's living for Jesus. Because of him, he's a high caste guy, he got saved. You know, nothing could not possible before God. And one village I went there, the whole family, one after one, they left from the village. And the village leader said, because there was a people calling us, and when we turned back, there was a slapping by the spirit. So everybody left because the evil spirit is calling and slapping them. We don't want to be killed by the evil spirit. The village leaders called many witchcraft doctor, astrologist people. No, nobody could do anything. And then he took me there, and I went there and I asked them, "Where is who got an evil spirit affected?" And the villager says that neem tree has the evil spirit. And I brought some of my believers with me. All the mothers, they're looking at me, what pastor is going to do now? He pray for people, he pray for animal, he's going to pray for the tree or what? And I don't know what to do. And I was asking God what I have to do. "Just close your eyes, praise me." That's what he said. And I begin to say, "Thank you, Jesus, we welcome you." Like that I said, there was more than 15 women. They rolled up their heads around and they rolled their body like anything, screaming. And they fall down like a dead people. And I was thinking, okay, now they are going to kill me or take me to the police station because they're dead already. Look like a dead people. And then I asked the village leader, "Bring me some water." And sprinkled over their face. And they got up and they said, "We do not have any heaviness. We do not have any problem." Still now, they don't have any problem. There were a lot of believers happening in that place. We have a church now, right now. Other lady, the witch doctor lady, she hit the people 3 times. And Tuesday, Friday, people will be standing like 50 people standing on the queue. And that lady, she was there. I did not know that lady. We preach the gospel every door-to-door evangelism. And she said to me, "You don't know who am I?" And you go and ask the other people, they will tell you who am I. And I said, "No problem, ma. No problem, party. Just Jesus loves you. That's why I come." And she said, "You know, before I make you something, and you just leave my house alone." And I went, and the next day, some of the villagers came to my place. They knocked my door. And I asked, "Who are you? Why are you here?" And they said, "Where did you go yesterday?" I said, "I went to these 4 villages I went. Which village you are from?" And they said, "We are from Sanarpati." And I said, "Okay, yeah, I went that village." "That lady, you have to come and see that lady." And I said, "What's the problem?" "No, you had to come there." So they were planning to beat me. I did not know. So they took me there, and that lady said that, "You know what you did to me?" And I said, "Well, I did not do anything. I just pray and I just say Jesus loves you." "No, you challenged me. You put a curse on me. I could not be able to walk right after you left." And I said, "My Jesus will never make you lame. My Jesus will never." She said, "Whatever I see in the frame, all my gods I can see. They will talk to me. I will be healer for these whole villages, around these villages." And I said, "Jesus is the only true living God." And she said, "If your Jesus heals me, I will live for Jesus." When we pray, she began to walk. The whole villages got saved. The whole village, as God said, we have a church now. She even planted their own temple. And the whole village, as they said, and that temple should not be damaged. There are some of the groups in the villages. And she told me, "Pastor, if I could not be able to walk at least one village one day, I could not sleep that day." I never talked to her. I never teach her how to speak in tongues, how to prophesy, how to pray. But whenever I go near to her house, and she will be kneeled down straightly, and she will begin to speak in tongues and prophesying people. And, you know, and she was a living testimony in that village. And we have a tons of story. I can tell you add and add. And that's a children's outreach we do. Every year we reach 30 villages. That's why I just go March, April, May. Because May is the month of summer. We have a lot of holidays. I reach young people through free spoken English, free music school, and also a free vacation Bible school. So we reach 800 children will show up easily. And we also we have a story. One small kid, like a 12 years old, she came and she said to me, Pastor, she will not say Pastor. She will say, Anna, you know what happened last week? My parents come to know I never worship my idols anymore. And they forcefully grabbed my hand and they pushed me into their temple. They asked me to worship before their eyes to their temple. So they're idols. So I don't know what to do. So I take my hands like this, close my eyes. I said, Jesus, you are in my heart. This dumb idol is not my God. Please open my parents' eyes to see who is real God in this world. So after she prayed and the parents satisfied, they said that, okay, my children worship our God. And she said to me, my parents did not know to whom I pray, but I know to whom I pray, what I pray. So we have a lot of stories like that. And we conduct our vacation Bible school, all 100% Hindu children, Hindu people. So that's my inside my church. And so many of the meetings, and that's our people. We also have a free tuition center in the villages, Dalit villages. So we take them classes for the Dalit poor children because their parents will be uneducated. We hire the teachers with the $40, and which is nearer to 2,000 rupees, and they will be come and work for those. And because of the free tuition center also, we planted a few churches. So whatever the projects we do, everything goes towards the church planting. So that's my heart. That's I also told Pastor Randy, I am a lover of people. I love people very much. So that's a widow lady. We give them a rise in our church. And these are the types of the problems that female faced in India. And you can go through Google or anywhere, and you can see that same information. Some of the pregnant women, they have to forced to give birth on the dirt path in the tribal villages. There is no hospital. And that's so we start the free tailoring school for the women. And that's our tailoring school people. We also reach the blind people, 150 blinds, they come to our church. And we have also give them and rice and some other helps. And we have a deaf and mute people. That Pastor Solomon, his whole family was deaf and dumb. So he has four brothers. And his brother, he wrote a Tamil whole Bible in a book, like 10 years before. He showed me. And then the pastor, he told me that I got healed when I was 8th grade. Because that's how I come to know my, deaf and dumb language that, all the sign languages. And now he planned the church for the deaf people. That's a leprosy colony I went in Bargur. And that's me giving them a food. At the corner, you see that's my first picture. And the last behind, that's the last picture I went. And Pastor Randy knows that one of the lady name is Holly Malloy. And she came last year, that picture. That's her sitting in there. And so she comes, she said, Pastor, I got a word, leprosy, can you take me? I said, how many leprosy colony you want to go? So I took her, and people come to our meeting by walk, like the both, the guy is walking. That's happened exactly in Dharmapuri, one of the village. And, we give them a spoon, plates, sometimes buckets, and we put them, dig the borewell, it damages the nerves and skin first, and they won't feel any paining. you know, when they walk on the tar road in the middle of the sun, you know, light. And that's how. So we literally dressing them. I'm not a doctor like a brother, but, you know, and we give them a, you know, basic treatment. And the doctors won't even touch over there, because the other leprosy will dress in the other leprosy. That's my church right now, that the top church, the head church is that where that Hindu priest lady got saved. The below is my church right now where I am. And the another one is Samayanalur, that's my church. Another one is in Theni, that's Chukkan Kalpati, that's another village. And that's a school. There was a village in after Sirumalai and Dindigul district. The village leader opened their library for us to have a church. Now we have the church there. That's a Pallapati, another church. That's a Dindigul church. So we have more than 7 churches I planted. I'm going to plant one more church next year. That's our baptism service. And that's our pastors who are working with us. While I'm here, they go and preach the gospel and share their churches. That's our pastors. We have 350 pastors in 5 districts. So I personally go to Theni and Krishnagiri and Pudukottai and Arani and Dindigul and Madurai. So we have if pastors and leaders, if you want to reach the many churches, you can come and we give them ordination. We also protect them with the law, with our lawyers. And so these are the churches that where I go encourage pastors every month or 3 months. The pastors will just sit on the floor and, you know, that's my church. That's a girl came with Holly there last year, I think, 2 years before. That's a pastor who preached the gospel. They beat the Hindu extremists. They shave his head, half head, and make him humiliation and make him ride on a donkey, you know. So that's a pastor, Joshua. We went to that place. Name is nearer to the Krishnagiri. It's Tenkanikote. It's one of the hilliest place. And he showed me, that's his house. And there is no road. And even the forest officer said, 3 days before, there was a guy killed by the elephant. You have to be very careful. So he rode on with us. He came with us. And I was driving. All of the sudden, all the bamboo trees to both sides, the road was going with the streams and, you know, and I could not be able to see the road. And he said, you ride fast, sir, as much as possible. So I went, and I used to drive a lot in India, night and day, with a big Rempo and, you know, people. So that's all the bumpy road, and, you know, there a lot of children I saw. And the pastor said, these many children, they lost their father because of the elephants. They attacked them. I can show you literally, evidently, with the paper and everything, these many children. If you ever want to come and help these children, I'll be there for you. Please pray for these people. If God speaks to you, your life is really valuable. We are going to live only one time. And I also like to give you the scripture. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 34:8 says, taste and see. And come and see the glory of God. And these many children. And we also give the rice for the poor pastors. These are our pastors. We give them. And these pastors, when I went there, he was my college senior. His name is Isaac Annaturai. And the whole villages, they said, in this whole village, one poor guy means that's the one poor guy, sir. You just no need of his address. Just ask anybody. Who is the poorest people in this village? They will take you to that Christian house. Only one Christian guy. His village name is Karmathur. So he's living there. So he's a real guy. And he was an orphan. He was raised in an orphanage. So he was my senior. He taught me how to conduct the children's ministry and everything. So now he helps me. He has a church. And that's one of our church being burned. And another guy name is Virudhunagar. His name is Martin. He's one of my best friend. He murdered by one of the Hindu extremists. That's his wife. So, and I went and I prayed for his family. After he died, their son got saved. He went to Gospel for Asia for Bible studies. And they have a church. Some of the places, they make you naked. They burn the Bibles. And, you know, pastors are being mistreated. And still, our people go to the villages. And last year, you maybe hear about the flood in Kerala. And we give them a lot of outreach helps, blankets and everything for those people. That's my dad again. And so please, and we also help that orphan widows people through the HUT projects. And if you want to do, you just, we are welcome. You know, you're doing it not just a social work. You're doing it, your good deeds bring the souls into the kingdom of God. So that's our mentality, like, you know, whatever we give, we preach the gospel with cost or without cost. We freely receive, we are freely, we are going to give. So we are, you know, we are there for you. And so I talked with one of my teachers from Oregon, and he said to me, you know, people, if they save Starbucks $40, they can support the whole pastor's family a whole month. Rice and food. So we have more than 50 pastors. I can give you the profile and everything if you ever contact me. And I'm not a good communicator. I'm not a good big administrator or a big organization man. Pastor asked me how you're going to do it. I don't have organization. I don't have anybody. I have only Jesus with me. Hallelujah. So you can reach, and we have a land, small land, my father property. I have a burden for giving education, Christian education for the tribal children and also the pastor children who are not going to school or who could not able to study. And so if you want to do that, you can do that. And my organization is not registered yet, but God has given me that name, Immovable Grace Ministries. And you can go through websites. I have websites. I put it in there as much as I have a knowledge about it. So you can also follow me through Facebook. And if you want to, and if you want to come to India, you can come. You can do anything you want. But you come with Jesus. Hallelujah. I have a word, last word, Matthew 28:18-20. I'm going to read it. You know better than me. And Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave his charge. God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you. I'll be with you as you do this day after day after day, right up to the end of the ages. Hallelujah. So I think this is not a command. This is an expectation from my daddy. Expectation from your daddy. So when we go to heaven, he's going to ask us how wealthy we were, how educated we are, how beauty we were. He's not going to ask that. He's going to ask us how many souls you brought to me in my kingdom. So he's going to, the reason after we got saved, we are not taken up to heaven. The reason we are still, after we get saved, we are here because we have to serve the Lord. We have to preach the gospel. We receive the gospel. How many of us really preach the gospel to others? Through Facebook, through YouTube. You have a lot of channels to preach the gospel right now. Above all, you want to, you know, what I, if I don't go, there is no people to encourage those people. I can tell many villages, there is no single church, single Christians, single people never hear the gospel. One time many years ago, I talked with one of the ladies. She said, "Mother, do you know about Jesus? Where can I get Jesus? How many rupees that Jesus?" And I said, "That's not a thing, Mom. That's Jesus is a person. He's a God. He's a God? Okay, what about that God? I have many gods." And I said, "That only God who came from heaven to earth, he died for you, he raised from dead, and he shed the blood for your sins. He ready to accept you as your as his daughter." And she said, "I never hear about Jesus before." I can tell you many hundreds of villages like that. Just 10 days, just 5 days. You want to go to see Southeast Asia, you can come and you can have a, you know, sightseeing, yeah, tour and everything. And this, at the same time, you can win the lost soul for Jesus. I have a young man came from Tennessee 2 years before with my wife, and he came back to U.S., and his mom was my, she's my best friend, and she said, my son never be the same again. He was not a responsible guy. He never cared anything, but when he come back from India, he's more responsible. He started his own ministry. He's doing musical ministry. He's even doing a lot of YouTube channel and some of the TV channel also in Tennessee. So a lot of changes happening, and that's their ministries who is giving me all the donations of One Accord Global Ministries. And if you want to pray for us, I request you to pray for me first. I know it is long time, more than 12:30, and I think I give you something what I have. But I can tell you so many things. But unless you make a trip there, unless you come there, taste and see, you won't know the taste of the fruit. So I request you, and I thank you once again, Pastor, to come. Can you please pray for us? Yes,
amen. Thank you, brother. You look good with a beard. So we want to bless this brother. You got that other slide there, Alex? Is there a... you got it or want me to control it? Okay. So we got an offering basket in the back. And if you'd like to make out a check, you need to make it out to One Accord Global, India. Make sure you put India on there or it won't get to the right source. Okay?
Goes to Philippines.
Yes. So I'm going to pray for this brother, and then I'm going to ask him to pray for us. And then, Paul, we're... if you want to come, and we'll close with the Ronic benediction.